Shir Masa Shabbos, we're dealing with the Indian of Tikkun Hamidus and Bir Hamidus, Avodas Hamidus. It's hard because since it hasn't been continuation, consecutive, week after week, so there's an interruption each time. And I'm trying to arrange it so that each year could be understood on its own. But certainly, as Hashem, when this series is completed, so then it's all one hamshach. It is all one inyan. It's going to be going for many months in Mitzvah Hashem. We spoke last time of man being stuck between the world of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu. Between what we spoke about, the two ways of Yichud and Yachad. Without going to things right now, Avraham Avinu running into the world, entering into the world, being involved in the world, and Chesed, and Yitzchak Avinu, retreating from the world, holding back from the world. Ahav and Yira and Chesed and Gevurah and so on. And we learned in the Shiurim so far that it seems that each and every one of us is doomed to live on this border between opposite extremes. And we spoke about the Anshei Gevul, the Anshei HaGevul, the people who are at the border, and that's all of us, who are at the border. And how it's so, so easy to fall for the delusion of either extreme and to believe that either extreme means perfection, when in truth, perfection can't be found unless it's with Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu was called Ish Tam. And Yaakov Avinu, we saw in the parsha today, the Indian of Yaakov is that he's Mavriach, he's the Briach HaTichon Mavriach Menakotze Lakotze, he holds the whole Mishkan together. Yaakovino stands at the border, at the Gevul, and we spoke about that. That's why Simchos Esh Samachtai, so the joy of Yaakovino, the Nachas. But it's a shame if you have a chance to review the tapes, or else it's very hard to understand. But what we're going to talk about now, until now, was very, very easy. It was really just introduction. It was very easy. Now, we have to talk about why. Why did Hashem do this? Why has Hashem made it so, Hashem's Baruch has made it so hard for us that we have to be stuck at the border and always being pulled in this direction or that direction? And it's so easy, as I said a minute ago, it's so comfortable to just to move towards one of the ends, towards one of the extremes. The whole meaning of Bir Hamidus that we're talking about, the Avodah of Bir Hamidus means to be a courageous warrior that stands and defends the borders. And for those who weren't here, that's what I'm saying is obviously total nonsense. It might even be nonsense if you were here. But I mean, to me it's not. Tonight, we're going to learn Maharal. Maharal, but to understand Maharal, we also have to enter into the teachings of his illustrious great-great-grandson, who's the Baal HaTanya. So it's a very hard Indian. The Maharal himself, before he began discussing this, wrote, V'hadvarim ha'elu heim dvarim amukim ma'oid umuflohim. And these matters are very deep and wondrous. And here's where it begins. We spoke about this years ago, but not in this context. Now we have to understand. It says in Pasuk, Mi tein tahor mitamei. Lo echad. Who is capable of bringing out that which is pure from that which is impure? Only one. There's only one. Nobody else. There's only one. And on that, Pasuk Chazal saying, Kigoin Avram Mitara'ach, Who could have brought out an Avraham Avinu from the house of Terach? Terach is the opposite of Avraham Avinu. Chizkiah Me'achas. Without going to the history, Chizkiah was an amazing tzaddik, and his father, Achaz, was somebody that fought desperately against everything that was Jewish in Eretz Yisrael. Yoshiyahu Me'amri. Similar situation. Yisrael Me'umais, that the Jewish people somehow emerged from the nations of the world. Ammon and Moab. They have a very, very strange past. Mi Osa came. Chazal asked, who could have done such a thing? Mi Gozar came. Who decreed such a thing? Lo Yechido Shel Olam? If not, for the Yechido Shel Olam. For the one who is unique. For the one who is alone. Hashem. Only Hashem can do such a thing. The morale in Gurus Hashem. In Perek Dal and Perek Hei. It's very, very kedai if you have a chance to look in the Gurus Hashem. The Ian. Carefully. The morale calls this matter Amukim and Mufloim. Very deep and very wondrous. That the most holy and the most pure Davke emerges from the most impure. Avram v'Yisrael shovim v'inyin zeh. And the Maral says that Avram Avinu and the Jewish people, our father Avram and the entire Jewish people, are really identical in this matter. It's really the same. Shahaya gidul shalahem v'uma shul hepech lahem. The same way that Avraham Avinu grew up in a world that was the opposite of everything that he was, that he would become. Not that it wasn't comfortable for him, or that it didn't stim 100%. Like you want to transfer, you're not happy in one college, you want to transfer. Avraham Avinu grew up in the house of Terach. It's the opposite of Avraham Avinu. And so too, the Maral says, the Jewish people, Yisrael, the same thing, that Yisrael, the Jewish people, Yisrael became an ummah, we became a nation in Mitzrayim, in the place that is the other end of the world, the universe. How could that be? And why did Hashem Yisbarach do it in that way? We spoke about this many times. So the Maral establishes a very important yisoid. The Maral says opposites certainly have a relationship. If not, none of us would be married. The Torah itself says Eze Kenegdai. Kenegdo means opposite. We'll talk about that in Mitzvah also more. Opposites have a relationship. They have a stormy relationship, but they have a relationship. K'may loiben v'hashachris, like what? Like whiteness and blackness. So if you go into school and you say to the kinder, what's the opposite of white? Say black. Everybody knows that. But it's the opposite of. Shehem hafachin, the Maral says, these are opposites. Misyachasim zelazeh, but they have a relationship with each other. Kishneim him nechlolim b'maru. But the Maral says that both white and black are the two extremes. They are strange bedfellows. They're two extremes in one world. And that world is called color, or physical appearance is color. They're two opposite extremes in that world that's known as color, appearances. And together, the Maral says, they cover the entire range of possibilities of all colors. They contain within them. They're the two sides of the package. This, all colors are either headed more in the direction of white or headed in the direction of black. The kol hafachim v'olam hein tachas min echad. all opposites are in one min, one type, one species. And if not, they would not be opposites. No one would say that the quality of sweetness, mesikus, is the opposite of black. It would be an absurd sentence to say. It's silly. The same way that nobody would say that that an insect is the opposite of a giraffe. It's an Irish guy. It's not in the same family. It's not in the same gather. We're not talking about apples and oranges. They share something. There's a family. But when we're talking about zebras and oranges, it's an other thing. It's altogether different parasha. Sweetness and blackness are not in one gather, they're not in one category. So Tzimal says, therefore, even though internally in their world, in that world, there's a milchama, there is a struggle, they are opposites in that world of color. The wondrous thing is that even though internally there is a struggle, there's a tug of war between the extremes, but because of these two extremes, between the two of them, everything in between can be swept into that oneness, into that unit. If not, things would be falling off the side. These are the two bookends that hold that entire sugya, that entire parasha together, even though they don't get along with each other. The same way that we spoke about, and it's a simple thing, that we understand that you'll have in one shul, if you have one person that made it, let's say financially successful, he's successful, and you heard that he did very well in a certain investment, so there might be a little bit of kinah, God forbid, there might be a little bit of envy for that individual. But the person who sits next to you in shul will be envious of this person. But somebody in the shul is not envious that how come he doesn't have what Bill Gates has. It's a different min. It's a different min. It's not from our chevra. It's not included in the bookends. In our bookends here, in each shul, you have the wealthiest person and you have the person who's least wealthy. And in that world, there are internal, there's maneuvering. And they're off, and this one's ahead a little bit, this one's behind a little bit. In that little world. But Bill Gates is in a different parish. Even though that's all about mammon, it's all about money, but it's a different parish. If we tend not to be envious or jealous of someone that's not in your world, only Mishagoyim have those kind of thoughts. But a normal person doesn't care about what's not in his within the bookends of his life. Everybody lives within certain bookends. So the Maral says, just learning Maral. So because they're opposites, hey mashlimim lahakol. So it's ironic that they don't get along with each other, let's say black and white, but Lamaisa, the two of them, because they're opposites, are able to be mashlim esakol. They are creating a unit and an entity, and they're holding it together. Ulafichach, now he says, therefore, listen how he ends. There's much more over there, just a little bit. Ulafichach, therefore, Yisrael u'Mitzrayim, the Jewish people and the Egyptians. Notice it's not Amalek. You know why it's not Amalek? Because Amalek is off the chart. Amalek is not the opposite of Yisrael. Amalek, it's like Amalek with Yisrael, it's like we said before, zebra and an orange. So it's a different world. Amalek is a different world. But Yisrael and Mitzrayim, Lefichach, therefore the Maral says, Yisrael or Mitzrayim afagav shem afachim mitzad atzmam. Even though internally the Jewish people and Mitzrayim are mamish opposites, mikomakom hadover v'hofchay mashlim lahakol. Still, or because of that, somehow a hashlama, all of reality is able to be constructed, is able to be built and revealed through what? Through the amazing interfacing of these two opposite worlds within one world, Egypt and Yisrael. Lefichach, therefore, Yoshvi Yisrael v'Mitzrayim. Therefore, the Jewish people became a people in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. Ve'Avram v'Ur Kazna. And Avram Avinu became Avram Avinu in the place that was the opposite of him. Because the two opposites together are everything. That's why Kala is Hakol, which we spoke about many times. Chasna Kala bring those two worlds together. Chasna Kala are opposites. The Kol Shah Hafachim Yosef Chaikim Zemizah, and the further apart, please turn off all the machines, I ask you to tell you. The further apart these opposites are, Yoisiruim Lotse Zemizeh Bishvil Kachem Akal. The further apart, the more remarkable can the outcome be of that relationship. Mizesh Yotza Avram Yitarach and Chizkiya Miyachas. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was raised, he discusses there, Moshe Rabbeinu was raised in the house of Paro. It's a crazy thing, why not? Look, why not in Flappish someplace? Moshe Rabbeinu was raised in Paro's house. And Mashiach Tzakenu is sitting by the gate of Rome. The Krach Godosh of Rome, he's sitting by the entrance into Rome, Chazal said. Where's Mashiach? He's sitting by the entrance to Rome. Whatever that means. Mashiach is sitting by Rome. Now this isn't anything yet. We haven't really spoken about opposites on the deepest level. But we have to. Of course, if we were to ask, what are the most opposing, the most opposite, but remember in the same Bechina, not zebras and oranges, the two that are most opposite are this world and the other world. Good and evil. In Torah or the Balatani in Parshas Vayeshev writes the following. V'hinei atzmus ha-masel baruch hu yochid u'miyuchid b'tachlis ha-yich. Hashem is baruch in his essence, is absolutely one, beyond their understanding. Echad yochid u'miyuchid b'tachlis ha-yichid k'noida. L'zois, and therefore, k'dei she'yishavu b'chinas ha-nevroim, in order that there should be a world, a created world with all kinds of things and animals and plants and people, in order for there to be Nevroim, a created world, Shehem b'b'chinas ribui gadol b'chinas yesh v'dover b'fnei atzmai, so that you and I feel that we're separate from God. All of us feel that we're separate. None of us here feels that God is making me do this or making me do that, and we can do whatever we want. Most of the world does whatever they want. In order that there could be such a reality, that there can be an infinite God who is one, in order for that to be, to get, that there should be in that world, that there should be Nevroim, human beings who have free choice, and the world that appears to be and senses itself to be independent of God, where God is one and the world is filled with what appears to be billions and trillions of different species and types and people and thoughts and feelings, places and so on. In order for that to happen, a cataclysmic process took place. It wasn't a mistake. There was no mistake, God forbid. And this process is called, in the Svarim HaKadoshim, the shattering of the vessels. Shvir Sakel. For our understanding, we're not Kabbalists. For simple people like us, Shvius HaKelim, somehow this shattering. We were reading last week about how traumatic it is for something to enter from the physical, from outer space into this world, right? How it has to go through a Shvius HaKelim. Never. There was a Shvius HaKelim, right? It broke. But in order for something to pass, even in this physical world from above to below, I read that there's like 3,000 degrees, and it goes through a trauma, mamish. And a baby goes through, from the baby to go from the other world into this world, somehow a process took place, which was unbelievably traumatic, and it still is. That's why you and I are having a lot of aggravation in life, just trying to be good and do the right thing, and raise families, or to get married, and so on. But this is a fact. That as a result of this process of God's concealment, and of the Shekhinah entering, of God's infinite light, entering and giving room for there to be a physical reality that appears to be filled with many, many things that are not godly, and don't sense God. That Shvius HaKelim gave birth to evil. To evil where Hitler Yamach Shemo, and Nebuchadnezzar Yamach Shemo, and Arafat Yamach Shemo. That these Rishoyim say, Ani Va'afsi Oy, they see themselves as being independent of God. And Paro could say, Mi Asha, who is he anyway? I didn't find him in any of my books. Who is God? And because of that, you and I could also wonder from time to time, struggle. In short, as a result of Shvius HaKelim, what now exists is the opposite of the creator of the universe. But God is one and purely good in a way that we can't understand. We live in a world that is many, and that has in it terrible suffering to you. Now to understand, we learned the Maharal, and the Maharal is saying, is that the only way that something can be fully, fully revealed in Shleimus HaKol, in its entirety, is only when there's a clash, an internal clash between the two opposites that are within one gedder, right? Within one orbit, within one unit. And therefore, in order for a man to be complete or a woman to be complete in the deepest way, there has to be that Ezer Kinegdo. They have to come up against each other and to somehow find a kivun, a path along the border in that world of opposites. So where does this come from? We asked, why is it that we have to go through this? Why do we have to be at the borders? Why is it that we're stuck between Avram and Yitzhak and we have to find Yaakov Avinu somehow? Why is it that we're drawn so much to different extremes? And it's so hard to find that place that is true, that's real, that's called Emes. Because Hashem created the world in such a way that in order for godliness to be revealed, in order for His oneness to be revealed in this world, He created a mechanism where His opposite, the Sitra Achra, the other side, exists. And the opposite side, the side of evil, sees itself as being separate from God, as being on its own. So the ultimate irony of all creation, much, much greater than nice people like us ending up in a crazy girl is like this. Much worse. I mean, this is bad. This is bad, but much worse than that is that in order to unify God, there must be a denial of God's unity. Listen carefully. And I'm thinking that this is going to take a few hours, and I don't know how I set myself up for this for an hour's share. But okay, we'll get started. But listen carefully. In order to unify God, I'm going to explain, there must be the possibility of denying God's existence and denying His unity. That means that kivyachal, so to speak, we're not speaking about Hashem in His essence, but Hashem created the world in such a way where kivyachal, in order for His true unity to be revealed in this physical world, which He stated was His desire in creation, Hashem Yisburach had to create a veil, a disguise, a delusion of His opposite, of godlessness, the avoider of a human being, that we're in this mess. The avoider of a human being is to nullify the opposite, to overcome that, and not only to overcome it, but by overcoming it, to truly understand Himself, to truly become godly, to truly become great, to truly become an Avraham Avinu emerging out of the filth of Terach, and the Jewish people out of the filth of Egypt, and Mashiach out of the filth of Rome. And anybody that has eyes could see that even, and we spoke about this last year, Parshas Tezriah, that even Eretz Yisrael, why did it have to be? Why couldn't it be like a quiet, nice little place like Rhode Island? When is Rhode Island ever in the newspaper? I mean, I don't mean anything personal. I know that there are Jews there, and it's a nice place. I was never there, but my wife was there. She says beautiful. I just picked it out of the hat. I was like, it's like a nice place. Why did it have to be like such a place that the Baruch Shalom says, it's like HaKadosh Baruch went over the whole world and said, this is for you. This spot, that sun, and the oil everywhere, the oil, except, of course, not there, except that little sliver. And in that place, every inch, Klai Yisrael's up against its opposite. Every inch of Yerushalayim is a war between Yerushalayim and the anti-Yerushalayim, the Mufti, and the Muslims, and the filth of Yishma. Every inch. And it's like that wherever you are, wherever a Jew is. That's what we have to contend with. Anything good, anything precious, anything special that you or I try to accomplish, it goes through that unbelievable world of the opposite. And the Baal Tanya had thousands and thousands of disciples. The most outstanding of all of his disciples was the Goyen and Kodesh Rabbi Aaron Halevi. When we first started the shul 10 years ago, those of you who are familiar with the shiurim that are at least for the tapes, there's an introduction to Chassidus. Before I actually start talking about those tapes, were all about this inyan on the teachings of Rabbi Aaron Halevi. And if you have a chance, you go over those. You'll be able to understand this hopefully a little bit better. Rabbi Aaron Halevi, the author of the Sefer Avodas Halevi, all of his writings are to explain the teachings of the Alter Rebbe, the Tanya. You can't move, come out the page in the writings of Rabbi Aaron Halevi without him bringing up the subject that we're talking about, which he calls, he says it straight out, Avoidas Hahipuch. I don't even know how to translate that. But you all know Avoida means worship and serving Hashem. Hahipuch means two opposites. In Avoidas Halevi Parshas Vayichi. Now, in an Indian is very, very complicated, and I'm afraid, so then I quote more. Because I want that the word should be said from the Sefer. And if you can look it up, you should look it up. We have an Avodas Halevi upstairs. Al Yedei HaHipuch, Rabbi Aaron says, that through the opposite, Yizgala HaAtzmus, the essence of something can be revealed. Only through its opposite can the essence of something be revealed. That's why, I spoke about the other day, that's why the whole story of leaving Mitzrayim is with a question, with questions and answers. Because the question always sets up the opposite. A good teacher A good teacher, a good Rebbe knows how to present the Shir. You don't just give information. In order to bring out the whiteness, you have, the teacher has to set up the blackness, right? And the children, the students are in a state of wonder. And they're forced to enter into the extremes. And somehow to bring out the truth. And the Rebbe says, you got it. The teacher says, very good. But the teacher has to set it up that way. The teacher has to set it up in such a way. Every good teacher places his students or her students in the opposite. And that's what the question is. That's what the whole story of our people is. And Jews are also always asking questions. They answer the questions. It's true. No? It's true. So, it's only through the opposite that the essence can be revealed. He called Gilui Niglam and Ahipuch, because true revelation of the essence can only be from its opposite. It's only when the other side is missing, is disappeared, where you can't find it, that there can be a gili hashleimus. That's why Hashem made in such a world where human beings didn't come in the world with a chasna and kala. You think it would have saved a lot of money? We would have avoided all the shadchanim. No, it would have been gevaldik. Hashem Baruch would have sent everybody into the world. A chasna and kala together. Or at least labeled. At least labeled. Like this, everybody's dragging around. Most of the agmas nefesh in the world comes from this business of chasanim and kalas. And then even after people get married, they're not sure. Maybe I misread. Maybe I made a mistake. So he says that all giluyim, all true revelation of atzmius, of essence, takes place when something, when what you're looking for is missing. The gilui hazeh, because in order to reveal what Hashem's oneness, which is ein oid milvadai, there is nothing, there's only God, the same way before creation, after creation. It's only because there's an other side, the side of evil, that says, there's only me, there's no God. Who is God? Where is God? And who cares what he has to say, even if he exists? Therefore, in all of reality, Hashem Yisbarach set up these opposites. Ribui, this world is a world of multiplicity, confusion. And Hashem's, of course, is Achdus, oneness. This world is called Yesh, physical reality. Hashem's Me'ayin Yavo Ezri is that hidden place that's Ayin of infinite nothingness beyond this world. There's Kiddusha, there's holiness. And there's the other side, there's the Sitra Achra. In Yerushalayim, everywhere you turn your head, you see a cross, you see a crescent. Everywhere you turn your head. I went to visit my friend when I was in Yerushalayim a few weeks ago. No, it's already, it's a couple of months ago. I was by Chaim David. He should be well. I was on his roof. I'm looking over. You could see the Kaisel is the Mamish. You feel like you could touch it from his rooftop. And in between, crosses and crescents. Everywhere. That's all you see. Avodah Zarah. Which you don't see in Providence, Rhode Island. Every once in a while, with a telescope or binocular, you see some of it as well. When you shall lie, the holier the place, the more tension between the opposites, that they're about to explode. And they are exploding every second. That's what's going on over there. That's why in Yom Kippur, there's the Si'ir LaShem, the goat that's brought into the holiest place at the holiest time, and there's the Si'ir LaAzazel, the orphan that goes down to Azazel, to the side of evil. And Purim, of course, is Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim. Adalo Yada and Or Haman, the Baruch Mordechai. The two opposites of all creation. Cursed is Haman, which means this world, which means evil, which means confusion and multiplicity. And Baruch Mordechai, the Tzaddik, which means oneness and clarity, Bereisim Yachad, Chelas Mordechai. And therefore, Purim is the highest Yontav of all. Because it's for Nahapaihu. The whole meaning of Purim is to reveal the truth from the opposite of the truth. Where there was a decree that every Jew in the world was going to be murdered, and the sons of Haman with Haman were hanged on the tree. It's all of a Nahapaihu, Adalayod, our Haman Baruch Mordechai, we live in such a world. Therefore, the Tanya and his Talmidim are teaching us this, that there are really two stages in the process. This is a little bit of just a summary. Aleph, there's the hishachus of the Toiv HaElokei. There is the reversal of absolute infinite goodness into a world, that reversal into a world that's filled with misery and evil. That's the first stage. That's not the tachlis, God forbid. Beis, the second, of course, is the tachlis. The second stage, the second stage is what? Is called birur. And only now am I explaining the underlying essence of all that we've been talking about with midas and what we're going to be talking about. Birur means clarification. To clarify. The clarification, the birur, means now that I'm in this place that's filled with evil, that's filled with the opposite, only now can I truly clarify and connect by means of my own free choice, my own insight, my own longing and desire, my own avodah that's meaningful. Now I can truly, truly reverse the evil back into good. Reverse the yesh, physical reality, back into ayin, into infinite oneness. Every time I make a bracha, I do that. Every time I make a right decision as a Jew, I'm re-reversing, I'm sending back, I'm fulfilling the tachlis, which is the biur, which means I am taking the many and making them into one. It's the second stage of the process. And this is exactly what Rav Tzadik is talking about in Mem Tes and Sikkes Hatzadik, which we've learned a number of times over the years. I'll just read to you a couple of sentences. Sikkes Hatzadik Mem Tes. Kol Echad Yeda. Every person should know. Shebemesha Yitzvay Taikfai B'yayser. The Davka, that area in your life, where Yetzahara attacks you the most, you have the biggest struggle with the Yetzahara. In that opposite, Rav Tzadik says, you will find your greatness. To be pure and holy in that area. Therefore, every Jew should have chizik knowing that davke in an area of your life where you sinned a great deal. You could be pure, mamish, pure and perfect more than anything else in your life. It's not the nature of a person. The nature of a person is what? Is davke to give up hope? Is davke to run away looking for something else? Because this obviously is not my avodah Hashem. I'm a total failure here. And Tzadik says that from the opposite, davke you'll know what your tachlis is in this world and in what you could become greatest. Therefore, Lachain Amru Vayikra Rabbi says in the Medrash, Shebe'eve Shebe'echot Abayas HaMitzvahs. So Chazal say that if you sinned with your hands, then you should give tzedakah. And if you sinned with your mouth, then you should use your mouth for davening and so on. The nature of a person is to think, well, if I did something wrong, it means that this part of me is malfunctioning. And the way we work here in America, if it's malfunctioning, you throw it out. You get rid of it. But Tzadik says that if something is malfunctioning, if there's a mal in that, it means that davka from that can come from the hippuch, from the avoid of the hippuch, and that's your shlichus, that's your avoid of davka in the world. In this world is to davka from that opposite to come to who? To the shlemas, to the refinement of that part of who you are. Midah k'neged midah. And that's the meaning of the Gemara in Gittin. Mem Gimel. Ein adam oimed al divrei Torah elam ken nichshol b'ham. The only way that you could truly, truly understand Torah, a certain area of Yiddishkeit, is if you failed in that, if you struggled in that. That doesn't mean that if any mitzvahs come easily, it's not meaningful. But the avoid, the ikra avoid, because by failing, by stumbling, you don't run away. It's for this that you were created. To repair, to fix this. And this exists even between parents and children. You see the most amazing things, Avram and Terach. But you see amazing things even in families that we know. There are other examples in Tanakh, which we saw Chazal also brought down. Ochaz closed up all the yeshivas, the king. He closed up all the yeshivas. He put a sword by the Mismedrish. Anybody that goes in to learn Torah is going to be killed. And Davke, from his son Chizkiah, there came out such Torah that from Dan to Beersheba, from the north to the south, there wasn't a man, woman, and child who wasn't completely versed in the most intricate laws of Tumen Taharas, the most difficult laws of Torah, from his son. Because this is the avodah of human being in this world. A person, each and every one of us, was put here in order to understand that if you have a midah that naturally haunts you, kaas, anger, if there's a midah that you find that since you're in this world, it comes back. It comes back and it destroys you and it destroys people that you love, such as kaas, or gaiva, whatever it is. We'll be talking specifically about different midahs. Each and every one of us has to understand that from that Arur Haman, that curse, this Haman, Davke, you can find your Baruch Mordechai. Davke from him. And that Hashem is Baruch sent you into this world, Ashlichas, the same way that Avraham Avinu was sent, Mi Tain, Tahor Mi Tamei. How could it be from that which is impure should come out that which is pure? That each and every one of us was sent to find the Nakuda, the point of Ayin, of oneness, of unity. Not to get rid of my personality, not to destroy my personality, but how to use my personality to serve the master of the world, because I could only really know who I am by that struggle with those opposing forces within myself. And that's the meaning of Bir Hamidus. That's the meaning, that's what Bir Hamidus means. That's why Rabbi Aaron Alevi writes, Kol HaYeridus, all the Yeridus, all of the descents that we go through in this world and struggles, Heim Litzarech Aliyahs. It's all for the purpose of an Aliyah, to come to the opposite, which is the highest, highest, highest. Ki Ikra Kavana Haysim Itiyas Baruch Shiyas Gala Elokusoy, because the Kavana of Hashem was what? That His godliness, that His Elokus should be revealed Mitzad HaHipuch VaHachoshech. From Egypt, from Ur Kasdan. And why did Hashem's book put our neshamas into the world at this time? So we weren't dropped off. We weren't dropped off, you know, in Baditch of 250 years ago. So Hashem's book dropped us off here. The Ha'astara, Davka from the darkness and the concealment. La'akafi la'sitra achri la'hapach shuch la'nahayra. Because the whole tachlis of Eid is to do what? Is to change the darkness into light. In that world of who you are. Remember, it's not apples and zebras. In that world. It's true, kaas is part of you. That's why the tzaddikim didn't say, the Talmid Hashem didn't say to get rid of kaas. What they spoke about is how to be mevarer kaas. That's emes. That's what we've been talking about the last few shiurim. Not to get rid of your personality, but how to clarify your personality. To know that if you have in you a certain, if you're cooking, if you have in you kaifas like that are cooking, that means that Bernie wants you to be a mavira, to find the point of ayin, of infinity, of oneness, in that midah that you have, and to use it, l'tzarech ha'emes, to truthfully serve the master of the world, not to destroy yourself, to transform. Mi yitain tohar mi tamei. And Byron Levy says, and the whole Torah is about that. Whenever you're learning, all the learning that we're learning every single day, it's only talking about what's mutar, what's asr, what's tamei, what's tahor. That's all we ever talk about, are extremes. Anybody that sits and learns Torah Shel Bal Peh, all day long, all you're talking about are opposites. Think about it. That's all you're talking about, are opposites. Chefetz Gavra, Abayi, and Rava, Rabbi Yechon Reish Lakish. Every second is opposites. Yeshama Basila, opposites. In the world of Kedusha. kosher and posel, tum and tahara. So we shouldn't feel bad. You see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes through this also, kiryachal. And we know that everything exists in a way of mahu afatam. But what I'm trying to explain tonight, I'm having a little bit of a hard time, so my kaich is a little bit at a low ebb right now. But I would like to be understood, is that here too, mahu af ata, if each and every one of us is struggling to find that inner self, to be mavara, to clarify, to find the truth of who we are, and we can't understand why is it that Hashem's Baruch would do what seems to be something so cruel, to put us into lives, into world, into situations that are mamish. All we see is the opposite of everything that we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. Because Kivyakal, the master of the world himself, the part of creation, by the process of Shvius HaKelim that we spoke about. And that Davke, through the Sitra Achra, through the other side, Kedusha will be revealed. And that Davke, through the darkness, light will be revealed. And that Davke, through the sorrows, the greatest brachas are revealed, when everything will be brought back to oneness. And here, Rabbi says the Kayach of Amalek, and we have to be particularly sensitive to think about this during this time of the year, and we have 2 months to work on this. We have the whole year. Because Amalek doesn't go away after Purim. Until the final destruction, we still have to work against Amalek. The Indian of Amalek, which I said is off the charts, Amalek is called by the Chachamim Alma de Piruda. Amalek is the commander-in-chief of the world of separation, the opposite of unity. And therefore, the Inyan of Amalek, which we'll talk much more about over the next few weeks, the Inyan of Amalek is to tell each and every one of us the following thing. Listen, because you know, I could ask everybody and myself to raise our hands if it's nageitas, but I'm not going to do that. I'm trying to be nice. But you know it's true for each and every one of us. This is what Amalek comes to say. Amalek comes and says that if you had a different matziv in Gashmias and Ruchnias, then it would be different for you. You'd be a different kind of a person. You'd be a better Jew, you'd be a better husband, a better wife, a better kid, a better brother, a better sister, a better friend. You'd be a better businessman. You got a bad break. And not only one bad break, it's been a whole life of bad breaks. A person thinks, Amalek tells a person, if you didn't have those midas that you have, and for this, you could, Amalek says, you could blame your parents also. If you didn't have those disgusting midas that you have, if you had the talents that other people have, if you weren't the biggest Baal Taiva, if you were like that person that you know that seems not to have such taivas, that's not tempted by disgusting things, then you would be a good Jew. Then we'd be good Jews. Demis is that those thoughts, those Amalek thoughts, only cause one thing: depression, sadness, giving up hope, yayush. It causes Jews to think that maybe the only place I could find my neshama, where could I find my soul? Outside of the world of Torah and Mitzvahs. I'm going to go look for it in an ashram. I'm going to go look for it in some misbegotten, confusing world which comes from the Sitrafa, from the world of the many instead of the one. These thoughts just cause sadness and depression and cause a person to become further and further away from the truth. Because the emes is, as it says in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, it says in the Rameh from the Tzadik and Jatamim, Apterov said it, Sfasema says it, Balatanya says it, Tzadik, Chedush Arvim, all the Tzadikim say this. That before the Neshama comes, before our Neshamas came to the world, each and every one of us, before the Neshama came into the world, Hashem's Baruch showed each of our Neshamas what is tachlis, and why that particular neshama was being sent into the world, and what's the unique shlichus? What is it that particular neshama must accomplish? What's its particular, unique, special mission? And Hashem showed the neshama what avoida is going to be necessary each and every day of that life. And Hashem Yisbarach showed also the neshama all of its upheavals, all of its struggles, all of the opposites, all of its opponents, all of its problems and sorrows. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the neshama that the only way it's possible for it to achieve its tachlis, its mission, is by going through those places, those times, and by being brought up in that home with those people, in that year, in that town, in that school, with those friends, with your mediocre, SAT score, and with your low middle class to low income background, or whatever you think is your handicap. And then each neshama was shown, and it was made known to each neshama in absolute clarity that it's impossible for that neshama to fulfill its shlichus any other way, with any other conditions. Bekitzer, you and I could not have been in Vedicha 200 years. It's a nice thing to think about, to sit by the Vedicha Vishal Vashudas. We would have been good Jews. It wasn't possible. The neshama was sent dafka. And the neshama was shown us and agreed. And the neshama was sent into this world with that awareness, with that knowledge, how it's pashut, impossible, without being in its opposite place, time, person, and so on and so forth. And therefore, the whole Yetzer Hara Malik, let's end. The whole Yetzer Hara Malik is this, as it says, when Amalek first appeared in our lives, which is Parshas B'Shalach. Amalek is Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeinu Im'ayin. Amalek means that Amalek always comes and tells you that you're stuck between Yesh and Ayin. Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeinu Im'ayin. Yes or no? Amalek, I spoke a little bit about this morning, that Amalek causes yayush, causes despair. And Amalek causes this coldness, asher karcha. Amalek causes that because Amalek always comes and tells you that you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and if you could be somewhere else or be somebody else, then you'd be happy. Then it would be good for you. Then you'd be better. Because where you are, Amalek says to you right now, look, this can't be you. Because you're unhappy. It can't be you. Because if it would be you, it would be gewaltig. And what we learned from the Maharal is that if it would be you, it would be the opposite of you. If it is you, it means the struggles were the opposite of you. And there's no other way. And that's why Purim, which is the defeat of Amalek, is the highest yontif. That's why Purim for the Jewish people is v'nahapichu. And therefore, every day of our life is a Purim Katan. Every day of life is a Purim Katan. The whole Klai Yisrael is regular Purim. And the life of every single Jew is a Purim Katan. And therefore, the whole Yontif of Purim is from a place of no hope, from a place of the opposite, from a place of death. Every one of us lifts up the glass on Purim and says, L'chaim, L'chaim. From the place of death, the Jew screams out, L'chaim. And there's no way to understand. Kol k'evecha la yevayishu v'la yikom la netzach. And v'sikvasa m'chalda v'ador. Why does Purim give us such hope? Why is Purim such a yontiv of kol k'evecha la yevayishu v'la yikom la netzach, that all who have hope in Hashem can't give up hope because of Purim? Because Purim tells you that in a split second, that revelation can take place of the essence from its opposite. And that's why, from the gezeira of death that was hanging over the entire Jewish people, came out the biggest l'chaim for the Jewish people.
And that's why Hashem is Baruch. Hashem will help us. Hashem is Baruch should help us that these last few minutes before Mashiach comes, that we shouldn't Chas V'Shalom let go. And we shouldn't Chas V'Shalom seek to find ourselves someplace other than where we are and who we are. And if we're going through such confusing times, and if we're living in a world that's so the opposite, when you look at what's happening, when you think about what's happening, what happened last week, and Bechlal, and Bechlal, all the things that are going on with in Klal Yisrael right now, the Tzaras of Klal Yisrael, these last few minutes before Mashiach, which is Engel Shav, Engel Tav, it's very, very tempting. It's very tempting, Chas V'Shalom, to give up. And a person, there are a lot of people that they give up even though they still put on tefillin and go to shul. When I say give up, I'm not talking about going to McDonald's, you understand? I'm not familiar with that world. I'm only talking about in our little world that people give up. You walk into every shul, you see people who give up. In shul, they give up. They give up. When they talk to the television more passionately than they do to the Baruch Shalom, you know they've given up. They gave up. They're not good people, they're wonderful people. They're wonderful, holy people, they're Jews. They've given up. You can't give up, you have to believe. I mentioned this week, I told to the Chabur, I told in this year, in a few places, because I'm going to forget it, so I don't want to forget this. So I'm saying it to you now, you know, I mentioned to the Chavayim the other day, that the children, you know, are big Nevi'im, you know, the children are amazing, you listen to children, they always tell you prophecy. So I shared with some of the Chevra this week, a Nevu'ah that I heard from my Shifi, that I said this Monday night in the Shi'im Chassidus, I think, I don't remember when I said. No, there wasn't a Shi'im Chassidus, maybe it's a Rav Kook. But that my wife had to give a Shi'ah someplace recently, and that means that she left me in charge. Which means right away that we're going out to eat. None of this stuff that mommy prepared. Because then you have to clean it afterwards. You have to make tikkunim afterwards, so it's better not to have to do that. So it's gewalt, you have a good time, but you promise you have to go to bed. Okay, all these promises. Did homework afterwards, so then Shifi, you know, a couple of times coming out of bed, I read her books, I did the whole creation, everything we did, fantastic. She was thirsty, okay? I was pretty good, the whole time I was good. It was good. Then, finally, the end, so I had a lot of phone calls I had to return. And it was late, so I went to the basement. I'm on the first call, and Shifi's like, I hear those footsteps. And she comes into the basement with that funny look, you know. And I said the dumbest thing. You know, parents, when you're desperate, you say crazy things. So I said to her, I said, Shifi, I trusted you. That's a stupid thing to say to a little kid. She's 6 years old. Like, you know, like I'm talking about something. I trusted you. You know, you told me you're going to stay in bed. I believed you. She said, Daddy, I believed me also. I don't know what happened, but I believed me also. So then everybody stayed up and there was a big balagan. But I couldn't fall asleep. I was thinking about that. Wow, I couldn't stop thinking about that. I believed me also. Daddy, I believed me also. And that's what we say to Rabbi Yishlom. With our failures and our shortcomings, Rabbi Yishlom says, I believed you. You say, Rabbi Yishlom, I believed me also. But I need more help. It's not working out. I can't do it. One more drink, one more design, and Mashiach will come. We should be Zayichim as Hashem for that day. Shiyovah v'galenei b'karf ma'am Yishlom.